Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The wait is over. The Chi returns with new episodes on Paramount Plus.
What brings you to the Chi?
Opportunity.
Everybody get down!
Walk right up to the side.
A new rain is coming to the South Side.
Never should have sent a boy to do a woman's job.
The Chi. New episodes May 10th. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto renews. Restrictions apply.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Welcome back. Welcome in. Merry Christmas to you. This is Country Roads Confidential at earsports.com. I am Mike Casazza, welcoming in Chris Anderson. Once more with Feeling Chris, we preview a Mountaineer football game, this time the Duke's Mayo Bowl, on Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. against the University of North Carolina in Charlotte, Bank of America Stadium. Two teams who probably can't believe they are in this game, huh?
Yeah, I like the way you put that. For different reasons, of course, but yeah, absolutely.
UNC 6-0, number 10 in the country, one of the best offenses, some of the top star power in the country at one point, staggers to the finish line, 2-4, counting a win against an FCS team toward the finish. Chris, back-to-back games, 20 points against both Clemson and North Carolina. That's 40 points total. They were averaging 39.9 before that. I don't know, people got a whiff of their offense and snuffed it out, or they just kind of hit the doldrums and faded at the end of the season. Quite the opposite for West Virginia. Flatlining a little bit in the middle of the season, surging toward the end. We've chronicled this before by important metrics that measure the Mountaineers' success in offense. One of the very best offenses in the country in those special categories that are kind of unique to West Virginia, but nevertheless important. And this is the team that is not in a Big 12 bowl game right now that got selected from a small number of teams. You're looking at, I don't know, UCF, West Virginia, Minnesota maybe to get into the spot, but I think you could expand that list and kind of assume that West Virginia with the offense, the expected star power, not going to the portal, not going pros, coming back on offense. A lot of alumni in the area. This could be a fun game for the fans, but also for viewers. Quite happy to be here. UNC's looking at like a New Year's Six game in the middle of the season, and now they got a road trip, an exotic bowl location of the Queen City, which is not too far from Chapel Hill. I think perspective really matters here. It helps one team get through this, I don't know, four-week period between games, and I would imagine that West Virginia expects to be on the front foot here when they do kick off.
Yeah, I think there's a real opportunity for West Virginia here, and I think that they know that, you know, that they're looking at this as a chance to continue to ride that momentum with this win, get the 9-4. We've talked about some of the where that would rank, you know, historically. You know, it's only happened, I believe it was like 18 some times in 130 some seasons. So it pretty rarefied air to that 9-win spot for West Virginia. And then given what we talked about last week with signing day, with where they're sitting at with transfers, with where they're sitting with what guys are coming back, it's an opportunity to kind of build this momentum, but also no obvious point in the anywhere in the near future where they could stumble. Like I say that and knowing that might jinx some things, so knock on wood. But, you know, there's not like another game after that where they might miss out some guys. The portal is going to be closing soon. So hopefully, you know, you just have a couple departures after the bowl game that you kind of already know about, and then that's it. And then you're kind of just cruising into the spring game, and you can have a lot of good feelings for a long time, which would be a welcome change. And we're done.
Yeah, let's go with some of the historical significance here. You mentioned a little bit, and I think we should explain. West Virginia really circled, well, it circled 14 in the beginning of the year, but now it's circling the number 9. There have been 12 Big 12 seasons now. 10 games they've won once, 8 games they've won twice. This is one of those 8-win seasons, so that's pretty good. And then you can't do better than 6 Big 12 wins right now, but certainly a bowl win would help. But again, one time with 6 Big 12 wins, one time with more than 6 Big 12 wins. So you're looking at one of the two or three best Big 12 seasons. West Virginia has been expected to be good and been good before. This is a little bit different. Not expected to be good, but has been good this year. And again, from a valley in the middle of the season to peaking now at the end, I think that's good. Here's what's interesting to me when it comes to both these teams going in here, and it may have no relevance to this, but it's nevertheless important, especially when it comes to fans. West Virginia, 16-23 in bowl games, 1-4 in the last 5, 3-8 in the last 11. Yeesh. You wonder why maybe fans aren't so jazzed about going to games and why the promoters of these games aren't so jazzed about getting the fans there. UNC, 15-22 all time, 3 straight losses, 3-10 in the past 13. And if you look at what they've done the past couple of seasons at the end, this is Mack Brown's 5th season, 4th season, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Yeah, 5th season, my bad. I can't do math. And again, these last 2 years, they've really kind of staggered into the postseason, which is not what you want there. First season kind of won some games, won a bowl game. They've lost 3 straight bowl games, taken some losses at the end of the year where they looked like they were going to be in a really good position for a bowl game and didn't, and then just didn't play well in the bowl game, which leads us to this here. We'll talk about personnel and star power right now, Chris. I think it's where you begin here. West Virginia, minimal damage by the portal. I think we can say that. Mike Lockhart's won. Justin Johnson's a surprise, I think, but that's from a position of strength. Maybe even the defensive line is a position of strength. James Hurd is a surprise. Hershey McLaurin, I don't know, just a guy who played and started and could be back next year. But no offense to those guys. If you ranked the portal losses they could not afford to take, those would not be very high players. Flip it. Who is playing for UNC? I think it's the easier way to do this. And we joked about this in the pregame pod back when the bowl game was announced, our rapid reactions. We didn't assume that May was going to play. We didn't assume Tez Walker, Cedric Gray, we're going to play. That's all been proven out to be true right now. You lose your quarterback, your receiver, but they have taken more damage through the draft, through the transfer portal, through injuries here. This is not an exaggeration. They already decided personnel disadvantage going into this game.
Yeah, absolutely. Going back to that rapid react pod that you and I did, and I asked you the question, I said, I know you got your formula for your Vegas lines.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say it is if UNC is all healthy? What would you say if, you know, Drake May is out? And I think we said around 7 and then around 1 in favor of UNC. And the next day, Vegas came out and West Virginia was a 3.5-point favorite, I think is what it opened at. So Vegas was already building into the line that, you know, they were going to be missing a ton of players. And I think even worst case scenario, they like whatever you thought it might be for their guys opting out or transferring or whatnot, it might be worse than that because it's significant. I believe the story was 7 starters out for the game for various reasons, some injuries, some transfer, some NFL draft, and it's an extensive list. I mean, it's just on offense. Do we want to start offense? As I said, maybe we'll split up who's out depending on which side of the ball we're talking about.
Yeah, it's going to take a while. Offense. So let's start our offense because I have the list and I'm sure you have it too. And it's worth some discussion here because it's kind of all encompassing.
Yeah. I mean, their starting quarterback, Drake May, their top receiver, Tez Walker, their starting center, Corey Gaynor. And the story I saw from our UNC guys on the site referred to 2 starting tight ends, John Copenhaver and Bryson Nesbitt, all out on the starting lineup with them. Is there anybody else I'm missing?
No, and Nesbitt is a huge loss. He's actually kind of one of the funkier players in the ACC, first team all conference, but like he's a tight end on the roster. He's a receiver on Pro Football Focus. He shares the school record with Kamari Morales, his teammate, who will not play in the game because he's transferring for career touchdown catches by a tight end. If you are a West Virginia traditionalist and you were scared about tight ends and bowl games to know that the tight end won't be in this bowl game, that's a huge plus one.
Yeah, I think they said they're going to be looking at a 4th or 5th string walk-on as their starting tight end for this game. So
Teams may
might be a lot of 10. Yeah, I think you might be seeing some, you know, no tight end sets here.
I don't know what you do, because if you look at their tight ends, they always had one on the field. They sometimes had two on the field. They ran the ball very well this season with Amari and Hampton. And can you put Deems, May, and they have a true freshman named Julian Randolph, who was in a highly rated tight end last year, hadn't played this year. I don't know what you do. Do you expect those guys to block? Do you put extra offensive linemen on the field? You know, guys with like, you know, a Nick Malone type, a guy who's a tackle or a guard, and all of a sudden he's putting his hand on the ground and playing tight end or something like that on the move. They're going to have to do something like that if they want to keep that part of their offense, which leads us to this. They may have a totally different offense, Chris. What do you think the chances are that this is not what we saw from UNC this season, last season with May, or with the personnel that are surrounding him, but more importantly, the tight ends and the running game? This could be something totally different with the new quarterback in there, Connor Harrell, Alabama dual threat guy. This could be RPO, stick it and pull it. This could be quarterback power. This could be zone read. It could be something very different that you could compensate for some of the personnel in the draft or not healthy.
The quarterback spot's going to be interesting, because wide receiver I'll get to in a moment, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for UNC, even with their losses. But Harrell, he doesn't play. Like, he hasn't really played. This will be his first collegiate start. But you go back and look at his, you know, high school career. He went, it was 27-1 with two state championships as a starter. And I want to make sure I'm reading this right, but this is from his profile on 24/7 Sports. 81 touchdowns to only 6 interceptions during that time.
Yeah.
It's pretty not nice ratio right there. And you're right, he's not afraid to run either. I think he had several hundred rushing yards, put it into the end zone a few times himself. So he's, I don't know how different he's going to be from Drake May, but as far as like maybe what their skill set was coming out of high school or what kind of attributes they might have. But of course, it's going to be different because Drake May is Drake May. He's going to be like one of the top two or three quarterbacks taken in the NFL draft, has a ton of experience starting. Harrell, coming in fresh, coming in raw. I don't think he's going to be quite as efficient as he was in high school. You know, 70-some percent completion percentage with very few interceptions. But he's got some talent for sure.
We'll get back to him. We'll get back to the receivers and the offense here. But let's go to the defense and who isn't playing, because this is a long list as well, with some important players that aren't going to be playing because of the draft or injuries as well, including the transfer portal, I should say. It's all encompassing, like I said, but this defense wasn't particularly good to begin with. And you could argue, never mind starters, some of their best players are gone. And I can't imagine what type of a void that creates.
Yeah, their leading tackler, Cedric Gray. He was, when you and I were talking about guys that could be leaving, it was like Drake May, Cedric Gray, and Tez Walker actually might have been third on our list of most important losses for them. And Gray is not playing, going to the NFL. But sneaky one here that I wasn't personally aware of until I read the story from our UNC guys, Elijah Huzzel, I believe is how you pronounce it.
Huzzy.
According to PFF, Huzzy. Huzzy. Yeah,
even better.
One of their best, maybe their best defensive back, according to Pro Football Focus, out for the game, injury. Lower body injury, according to the UNC story. So that's tough, man. Like, you're again, your run defense isn't that good, and you lose your best linebacker. Your pass defense isn't that good, and you lose your best cover guy. Not a great combination.
Is that so?
In my expert opinion, yes.
Okay. Also missing from this one, safety DJ Jones. Actually, I believe he's going to play. He's transferring, but he's going to play. Okay. Backup safety, Will Hardy, he plays quite a bit. Cornerback, Teon Holloway, plays quite a bit. Man, West Virginia is going to air it out and go deep. If you're losing, you know, again, it's the starters, but it's also the backups. And if you play your backups, now you got the backups backup in. So again, sometimes it's not that you're losing a starter, but you're losing the backup too, because the backup becomes a starter and a guy who plays and now plays a whole lot more and is replaced by somebody who hasn't played. And UNC has these issues here. And it's been a It's been a bad season, but a better season for the defense. It was tough last year for UNC. One of the reasons that they kind of did not get as far as they wanted. And the same thing this year. Better numbers in the first half of the year than at the end of the year here. Better numbers at the end of the year here this year than they were last year. But again, not impressive at all. Vulnerabilities, and that is at full strength. Not going to be at full strength here too. So again, that's the advantage here. And to point out why this is worth talking about and leading off with, Neil Brown has been careful to make this point a couple of times that he's kind of leery of UNC. And I think pushing back against what we're talking about, which is not that fans or players for West Virginia can take this for granted and think that UNC will roll over, which may be the case, but he's not going to let people think that way, especially his team. But he says that there is going to be excitement when you put new people in and talent that they do have because they have recruited well in the position to play and star and kind of use as a springboard and audition, whatever you want. And you've seen that with West Virginia when they put Hudson Clement in. People are really excited to see him play. They like him. They'd see him do things in practice. Let's see what he can do. Duquesne, fine, but man, if he didn't blow up that game. When they played Jaheim White, teammates, players, media, very excited to see what happened. There's some energy there. Look at the way they start games sometimes, Chris. They involve Rodney Gallagher, Treylon Ray, Jaheim White, people who want to get going and people who have people who want to see them play and do things. So there's the other side of that, which is like UNC is going to have these guys and make them play and see if they can excite people and whip some of that up. Because in games, yeah, in bowl games especially, who wants them more? Who's more excited? That can do a lot. But then go to West Virginia. Haven't had draft losses really, haven't had portal losses really. And then I think about this, Chris, there are guys that we know who are going to go into the portal after this game. But they want to be here to finish. They've cleared it with their coaches and their teammates. This is a big opportunity. Had a good season, get 9 wins, can beat an ACC team at a bowl game on national television. I'd like to be a part of this. Would you have me? And the answer's been yes. I think that's a really good indicator of a healthy mood and a healthy. It's all about the vibes, Chris. But that just seems like it's a good thing for them right now. And again, if I'm weighing one team against the other right now, UNC might have some intangible things. I think you really have to mold that in a certain way to make it seem like it's an intangible, it's going to really matter. I don't think you have to try nearly as hard to think that West Virginia has that mojo going.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that chance that it's sitting right there in front of them has an opportunity to, kind of motivate West Virginia. And to your point about UNC as well, you look at their depth chart right now with these departures, and right, like there should be some excitement on their side and some energy from the players as well to just get out there and play, because it's like the starting quarterback that's a freshman, starting tight end that's a freshman, the 4, 5, and 6 receivers, all freshmen. Go through the guys that are replacing on defense, freshman, 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 another freshman, new freshman backup at corner, and a new freshman backup at safety. It's kind of up and down the line. And it's one of those things where it's like, hey, they might be, no offense to these guys, they might be too young and dumb to be concerned about the moment. Go out there and play excited, energetic football, which, as we all know, for most of these bowl games, not the ones that are, New York, New Year's Six or playoffs, it's about the teams that kind of want it more. And I'm with it that I don't think like UNC is going to just be like, ah, whatever, screw this. I think they have enough, again, no offense, young and dumb guys to go out there and be like, hey, I want to win this game.
Let's start UNC offense against West Virginia defense here. Start with Harrell. You mentioned his stats. 72% completion percentage, a lot of touchdowns, hardly any interceptions. Team captain, valedictorian, Chris.
Nerd.
Heady guy. I like this. West Virginia has studied tape of him from high school. And they said, boy, this guy has arm talent, arm confidence. He can air it out. That would concern me a little bit if I was West Virginia's defense in the secondary in particular. Teams have taken the top off a couple of times and succeeded. And this seems to be like what he can do. They'll probably lean into it and try to hit some home runs here. And they also have a great running back too, but they also expect some quarterback run game as well. Hardly played this year, got healthy a little bit against Campbell late in the season. So that's interesting because it is late on. It's one of those like October, November FCS games. It's not the second game of the season, the first game of the season. So he has practice to play recently. They've also brought in Max Johnson from LSU and Texas A&M, basically saying you're not good enough, Harrell. Maybe come back in a year. I'm assuming he's going to be super motivated to play this game. And he is going to have some receiver talent around him as well. New center, a guy who played guard for much of the year. That's going to be, you would think, a disadvantage, maybe not for Harrell, because he's not used to anybody snapping to him. In fact, he's probably worked with a backup center more often than Gaynor, the starting center. Gaynor, by the way, a seventh-year senior who opted out of the game to go pro. That's a unique distinction there.
Yes.
Preview for a second, though. What do we expect from this? We've already talked about Harrell, but you know a little bit about the receivers. They're going to hand it off an awful lot. Only 10 guys had more carries than Hampton this year. Only one did better than his 6.1 yards per carry. So he's active, but also effective. This could be 80 handoffs in this game combined, Chris.
Yeah, I think, and that's why I'm wondering how much the Harrell part of this comes into play, because UNC has, for what they have lost, they have a lot of talent still around him. And I think you're going to have all these guys, other than the center. Like, I mean, West Virginia fans know you shouldn't downplay the loss of a center on the offensive line. But again, they're replacing him with Willie Lampkin, at least according to their most recent depth chart. And he played 746 snaps this year. Like, he's a full-time starter. So they're more or less going to have all five starters back on the offensive line. But more, you're swapping in basically your sixth guy. I'm assuming is William Barnes here, who has about 500 snaps. So they have six guys who played a lot. Five of them are playing, five of them are starting. So they're probably fine there. They're tight end. Yeah, that's going to hurt. Don walk-ons. Running back, still there, still amazing. We can talk about him in a second. Where it gets interesting is wide receiver, because this has been kind of like a whack-a-mole season for them. It's like you knock one down and then another one pops up and everything's just fine, because obviously to start the season, Tez Walker was sitting out as they fought with the NCAA, before his new evidence, new information was presented. But during that, Kobe Paceor had 15 catches for 139 yards in the first two games, 100 yards in Walker's return. And then he gets hurt and he's out.
Yeah.
And then Walker steps in. So that's that. But leading up to Walker's return, there was also a guy named Nate McCollum, who was more of a slot receiver, and he had 27 catches for 347 yards in the three games leading up to Walker's return. He's kind of been an afterthought since then. He's only got 81 yards outside of those three games. But now he's starting. He's back in this slot receiver role. Maybe he's the guy that's stepping back up. And it kind of keeps bouncing around with different guys like that. Obviously, West Virginia fans know J.J. Jones, WVU legacy, who West Virginia really wanted, chose UNC. And he's been a guy that could be, the go-to guy with Walker out. So there's a quite a bit of receiver talent on this UNC team. So I don't think that's going to be a problem for him.
It's a bit less, though. Doc Chapman and Andre Green, two four stars in the 2022 class, highly talented players, both top 247 guys, both top 200, I believe. Transferred, hardly played, but never really got a chance in the field and kind of scraping the barrel there a little bit. And just to go over Nesbitt, 6'5, 250. This guy played almost all of the snaps in the slot and it played just about as many as the fullback as he did an inline tight end. Really versatile guy, gone. And that's a chess piece they're not going to have, but he's a threat outside, inside, flat, stuff like that. And not going to have him. They're going to have to be creative. And you're guessing a little bit. Is it quick game? Is it screen? Is it RPO? Is it play action? What do you do? Like, you just can't go off the script. Now, granted, you're going to do a lot of what your offensive line can do, but your offensive line can do a lot by only doing a few things. So it's going to be an interesting first quarter too. First two drives to figure out what they're doing and also how they're reacting. And what does a quarterback show you when you show him something? For example, you bluff a blitz. Does he check out of it? Does he look to the sideline? Does he go to a quick, the first read, whatever? And then can you manipulate that to make him make a mistake or to pause and just not have something to throw it away, throw incompletions, force balls? Could be a chess match in that first quarter, I think, too. Star player still in the game. Hampton, we talked about, gets it a lot, does a lot with it. Chris, he had five runs of 50 yards or more this year. Seven teams had more than that. Teams. He could be a game breaker. Again, productive with a ton of carries. Number four in the country in yards per game. He was tied for the National League going into the final game. But this feisty defensive coordinator from NC State, and I'll have to look into him because maybe his star is rising. I don't know his name. But boy, he put the handcuffs on Hampton. 31 yards rushing in that game. Really not an impressive day or an end of the season for him. But he's going to be the guy they certainly lean on here. maybe as good as it gets for West Virginia's opposition this year, not named Ollie Gordon.
Let me put one stat out there. He has 1,031 yards after contact. After he's a 1,000-yard rusher after contact this season. That's wild. Again, I feel like we've been saying this a lot with some of the teams that West Virginia has been playing this season, that they've been facing some really good running backs. And as I'm looking at this list of people who have rushed for 1,000 yards this season, Ollie Gordon, Taj Brooks, there's a Marion Hampton at number five. Just rolling right down the list at UCF, RJ Harvey, like Imani Bailey is basically like anybody on every team that West Virginia faced this season at 1,000-yard rusher, it feels like. And this is no different. So, you know, that defense has to be ready for a gauntlet because, you know, he's a really good runner and he is not easy to bring down.
I lied. 3.1 yards per carry, not 31 yards rushing. I can't read my writing. He had 28 yards rushing against NC State. 9 carries. He had had at least 13 in every game. More than that most of the time. 19, 31, 15, 29, 19, 24, 15, 18, 13, 26, 16. You get my point there. 9. They saw something there that wasn't working, and they got away from it. They also lost 39 to 22, so maybe it wasn't the day to run the ball. Time of possession, going to have to be careful with it. If you give West Virginia opportunities, man, I just can't believe we're saying these things so confidently, but if you get that offense opportunities, they're going to probably move the ball and score here the way they've been playing. I figure they'll be refined and ready to go. Anything, anybody else stand out on offense for you, or a matchup that West Virginia's defense maybe needs to protect against or exploit?
Let me ask you two questions here. One, you think somebody over in Morgantown is going to call up Gibby for some advice ahead of this game?
I was wondering about that, but who's the connection? Stu?
I don't know.
Somebody's got to be, right? Maybe, I mean, maybe he's available. I don't know. Jeff Castile, that'd be a guy.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say. Was Castile was the first one that came to mind. But I don't know. I mean, you know, coaches talk all the time, but I didn't know if that might be a phone call, quick little phone call to make. Second question, I was wondering about this because I made a couple of those picks for my charity bets, and one of the ones I picked was UTSA over Marshall. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason was because I was like, hey, their running back is really good, Ali. But I just don't, you know, he's getting ready for the NFL, he's getting ready for the offseason. Do they really want to, you know, rush him a lot? And he only ran the ball 9 times. I'm looking around at some of the other stats and some of the other guys. A lot of the running backs are taking on a slightly lighter load bowl season. Is that something you think they might do? You know, like, hey, man, we don't want to put too many, you know, miles on him in this game when we still got him for one more year before he goes to the NFL.
Ooh, boy, that's
just, it's just lingering in the back of my mind.
There is a pattern about that. I've seen that tweeted about too, but I also just wonder if maybe teams aren't getting healthy. Do they have some more guys? Do you reward people for good practice habits or for doing well before the bowl game? We're going to see some of that with West Virginia for sure. It's not that DJ Oliver is going to play, and that's going to take carries away from, well, not CJ Donaldson, but certainly Jaheim White. And again, they don't have White. Excuse me, they don't have Donaldson. They don't have Johnson. I'm not sure how much they'll give Jalen Anderson, but yeah, you can see that. That's a good point. I think that'd be something to, you know, true serum. See if coaches ever tell you the honest truth there. We'll see. Let's flip to West.
There's something East. Lingering before we flip sides. Yeah.
Yeah. And again, we don't have to devote a lot of time to this because, again, we don't know a whole lot about the UNC defense and what they're going to do, but we do have ideas about West Virginia's offense here. And I imagine they are going to use this as not just the bookend for Penn State starting the season, NC to close the season, but also a springboard for next season, Chris. I anticipate them to really try to be effective and efficient, but I wonder if they don't go for the gusto here and really try to be prolific, explosive, impressive, because a lot of these guys are coming back and they're going to have people who are auditioning for, you know, magazine cover season, preseason mag season, right? Where you're trying to figure out, all right, who are the better players? Who are the guys that are going to be good in the Big 12 this year? And I really think you can make an argument for a Jaheim White, a Garrett Green, a Traylon Ray. And this is a chance for them, a Rodney Gallagher, people like that, to really catapult, not just in the spring football, but into the offseason with collectively a whole bunch of wind at the sails of this offense.
There you go. Here's my stat I'm watching. UNC ranks 96th in the country in 20-plus yard pass plays allowed. one out of every four completions for West Virginia this year, which is the best, highest rate, best, I guess, highest, or for 20 plus yards. One out of every four times that West Virginia completes a pass, it's for at least 20 yards this season. I'm with you. I think this could be a game where we're talking, hey, look, at they're going to run the ball. They're going to run the ball, a lot of run the ball. I honestly think there could be some deep shots from West Virginia in this game. Some real, really going for it. What do you call it? Going for the gusto here for WV's offense and, you know, trying things out with some different receivers and getting them downfield.
And the reputation of this offense of late is that if you put down the opposing defensive stats, West Virginia has been good as expected against the soft spots of a defense. And I don't know why you wouldn't expect that with so much time to prepare here. And you figure, how is it going to look? Oh, I don't know. Probably going to look like they've made it look before. I don't think you'll see a whole lot of new stuff. Refine it a little bit. Maybe throw in some things that are specific to personnel or stuff you've been working on, you've had more time to work on. But I would imagine they workshopped, sanded, polished, refined a whole lot and tried to make good things better and maybe add a few things here too. Do you see takeoffs for anybody? DJ Oliver is the one that really, really intrigues me. This is going to be his coming out party. Potentially, they're going to play him. It sounds like he's going to return kicks too. So too will Rodney Gallagher. Neil Brown mentioned Nico Marchio is having a good game, or excuse me, a couple of practices. I don't know why he wouldn't maybe slip him in and give him a play or a series or a package or something like that. Have some fun with this. You can win. Great. You can also enjoy the win too and really set yourself with momentum in the offseason here. There's a lot to look forward to pretty much any time that West Virginia's offense plays right now. This feels like it's different. Do you have your eyes on anybody, anything?
To wonder two things, both related to the same player. Rodney Gallagher. Is this again, you mentioned him right there. Is this the game where we finally see him throw a pass? Get him on an end around toss. Downfield to Traylon Ray or something like that.
This is me tying on a tourniquet right now, Chris. Into my veins, please. I need this.
I think this is the game where you see that. And I also think this might be a game where they try to get him more involved downfield. Like they've talked about, hey, want to get him the ball in space, and they're doing little jet sweeps and little screen passes and everything like that. I think this might be one more where he's attacking downfield and they're going to him on routes that are actually on the field. And I think you're going to see him more involved that way.
I like it. We can do that. What do you think of the offensive line? Brandon Yates sliding over to center, not Landon Livingston, not a surprise. Jaquay Hubbard will play right guard. You're going to have everybody else healthy, which means your tackles, your guard, left guard, and Wyatt Milam, Doug Nestor, and Tomas Remock have been out for different times that have been healthy for the late part of the season. They're going to try to get Nick Malone in. They've also talked about some of their younger offensive linemen, Johnny Williams and Nick Cray in particular. Do you think there's a spot to get some of the younger people in? They can slide Malone in as an extra offensive lineman or a tight end and not really disrupt anything, but this is a time or a place to give some of these younger players a spot. Like we're talking about a DJ Oliver, a Nico Marchio, a Rodney Gallagher, Traylon Ray, even though those two are more featured regularly.
Yeah, I think you'll see Nick Malone. I think you might get a little couple sneak peeks of what that offensive line might look like next year, you know, giving Nestor a little bit of a break sometimes. But the talk of like playing Williams and Gray, like, get it and I understand it. And it's not just those two, but younger players in general for this bowl game. Like maybe you sneak them in there a little bit for a couple plays here or one drive there or special teams for some other guys. But how far are you going to go to get some of these guys reps while, you know, putting the game at risk? So, to, you know, not saying that these guys are bad. They're just young. Like that, you're trying to get them experience. That's the point. But you still kind of want to play your best player so you can get this win. So I think there is a breaking point there. And for me, if I were the coach, if I were coaching this, that breaking point is going to be pretty quick. Like I'm not messing around because I want that ninth win. I want that momentum continuing through the offseason because it's too beneficial for the program as a whole to sacrifice it just to get a couple guys some, like, you know, six extra snaps.
Okay. West Virginia, number three in the country, fewest sacks allowed per game. UNC, number 45 in the country, 2.25 sacks per game. By the way, that's eighth in the Big 12. That's a good number. And that's eight, or excuse me, eighth in the ACC. 2.25 per game, top 45, eighth in the ACC. They have played two teams, Chris, that were better than 45 in the country in sacks per game. Penn State number one, Pitt number 36. Those two had five sacks. West Virginia as a team only gave up nine sacks this year. West Virginia will play Kamon Rucker, who plays the jack position, 8.5 sacks, number 17 of the FBS. West Virginia played one player who was higher than number 17 in the country, Houston's Nelson Caesar. He had no sacks. So they have not had a lot of experience against teams that rush the passer very well or individuals who have that as a knack. It might also be that West Virginia's offensive line is pretty good at protecting the passer, and that means why you're probably right here. They're not going to mess around the whole lot, the offensive line. This defense might not be able to do a whole lot. You can't open the door and let them in to do the one thing that they do pretty well, and that could be disruptive. Wrap it up here, Chris. Last time, 5:30 kickoff. Who or what are we talking about at the end?
I think we're talking about Treylon Ray and Rodney Gallagher. We're talking freshman wide receivers. We're talking an explosive offense. Again, I think West Virginia zags instead of zigs or zigs instead of zags, and you're going to see more of a passing attack than maybe you're prepared for. Some deep shots, and you're going to be talking about West Virginia scoring a lot of points. And not calling for a win yet. I think UNC is going to be able to move the ball as well, but I think West Virginia is going to score some points, and it's going to be led by the receivers and the passing game more so than the run game. So Rodney Gallagher, Treylon Ray is what I think we're talking about.
All right, I'm going to flip the other side of the ball here. West Virginia's defense, that's what we're talking about at the end. Let's be honest, this could look very different on the field, on the sideline, the next time we see the Mountaineers in the field. There's a lot left to prove here. There is an idea that West Virginia's defense is better this season than last season, and that is true. Not a great defense, though. UNC's offensive coaches are pretty good. Look up the names in the bios. You'll recognize them, and you'll see they're accomplished. They got time to do something here, and sometimes you're really worried about teams that you cut off one hand. How do they fight with the other? And that can be the devil you don't know. What does West Virginia's defense do? Despite advantages that you think it may have against who is not playing against UNC, did they come out looking good? Did they come out looking bad? And what does that mean for the rest of the offseason? We will know more when this game is over. Join us after the kickoff. Excuse me, after the final gun, as we kick off our final rapid reaction podcast of the regular season and the postseason in 2023. Until then, I'm Mike Casazza.
Chris Anderson.
We will talk to you then.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
You can now relive the best moments of the UEFA Champions League 24/7. The UEFA Champions League channel is a new 24-hour streaming channel serving non-stop goals, highlights, and full match replays from the world's most prestigious club competition. Reminisce on your favorite moments, legendary players, and brilliant goals with the UEFA Champions League channel, streaming around the clock on Pluto TV and the CBS Sports app.
New CBS Sunday.
You collect rewards, right?
This is how I make my living.
When something is lost,
everyone's looking for something.
He finds it.
You strong swimmer?
So-so.
So-so. So-so's okay.
Justin Hartley stars.
How you survive, you make quick, smart decisions, and you never let panic take the wheel.
Sounds cool.
It is cool, actually. Very cool.
Tracker. New Sunday on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.